That the Spirit.
Peter, are you there?
I am there, Big Hungry. How's it going?
Oh, good, 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 good. I am joined, of course, by John and...
Hi, Peter. How are you?
That, the brilliant team.
That's John right
there. That's the one. That's the great team. Hey, yeah, Peter, now New Zealand has won some sort of award from, is it a Commonwealth body of
Don't
sorts?
Everyone get excited. Yes, well, don't everyone get excited. It's
I must say, I've gone searching for the details of this, and the people who are reporting this are very minor players. There's strong reports from Jewish news reports, and there seems to be something about a meeting at Lambeth Palace, which is the home of the Archbishop of Canterbury. But this is an award as the place of greatest religious freedom in the Commonwealth.
Does that mean we just we're the least engaged in religion? Is that basically what that's saying? I'm allowed to be Christian, but I can be a maniac as well.
Well, it would be easy to answer that if I had the report in front of me. And
okay.
I can't find the report, but if it is based, as I think it is, on the work of the Pew Foundation, and has just selected Commonwealth countries from that report, then, obviously there are other nations that would show up.
Are you insinuating that the report has been withheld from you, Peter, perhaps?
No, I think actually what happened was that there was a meeting took place as part of the Commonwealth meeting that's heads of state's meeting.
Okay.
And it was at Lambeth Palace. And they extracted figures from a global report. Now, this is my reconstruction. And from this, they deduced the Commonwealth countries' figure right through the range of good to bad countries in terms of religious freedom. New Zealand at the top, Nigeria at the bottom, Nigeria and India at the bottom, and with quite a number of other Commonwealth countries, Brunei, etc., well down on the list.
So this just means we can walk around exposing our knees and all that kind of stuff. Is that sort of what you're talking about?
Well, you see, I mean, in the light of the Israel Falau discussions going on at the moment, I mean, this bears on it in quite an interesting way, because the whole question is, should Israel Falau be allowed to make what may seem like hate speech?
What did Israel
You're talking
Falau
about the league,
do?
The football player, the league? The league
yeah, the Australian football player. Admitted this is Australia, but there's been a lot of comments in New Zealand as well.
Right.
I think this is an interesting example of the issue at stake. So religious freedom, firstly, the measures of it are there legal restrictions on freedom to hold and to advocate for your religious viewpoint? And secondly, are there social constraints on doing this? Now, it's pretty clear that, for example, in Britain now, interestingly, in order to smooth the attitudes of the state, there's been quite a lot done to repress strong expressions, for example, of Christian opinions in universities that might be offensive to Muslim students. And there was a released just last week was a report from the British House of Lords, which shows that in several British universities, they've suppressed Christian organisations that try to evangelise other Christians from being allowed to be student clubs, which is quite interesting. And that doesn't happen on our campuses so far, anyway. But that's one example. Are you allowed to try and convert other people? The right to conversion it's illegal in Malaysia to try and convert Muslims. It's illegal to try and convert Hindus.
What does that mean? Like, you can't have people door knocking and going, hey, why don't you become a...
That's right.
All right.
You do any of that...
That happens here, though. I mean, man, just trying to cross the Grafton Bridge at the moment, the Scientology people are pretty full on, man.
They'll follow you for a long time. Clearly, there are no restrictions on it, much as we might be highly annoyed by it.
But I have the freedom to sort of flip the bird and keep cruising.
You have the freedom to reject their responses. Yeah.
Oh,
well.
And I do. I do, Peter. Don't you worry about that.
Oh, you disappoint me. You disappoint me. You're supposed to be collecting their pamphlets for me.
Oh, man. You don't want... No. I can't help you there, mate. There's plenty of them lying around on the footpath there up at Grafton Bridge.
Can you please collect some of those pamphlets for me, though, Big Hungry?
Okay.
Hey, now, Peter, isn't the Israel Folau case just an example of someone expressing, while it is his religious belief, it's not really fit for expressing in public?
Ooh.
Especially when you're a role model for people, you know?
What did he say? Catch me up to speed.
Israel Folau tweeted a statement that he believed the gay people were going to hell.
Oh, okay.
And apparently he was asked to make some comment. I don't know the full circumstances.
And was everyone like, you believe in hell? And cracked up at him? Or?
No,
I understand.
Qantas threatened to withdraw its support for rugby on the basis of what he had said. And then the
Australian Rugby... What a maniac.
Why did he say it? Well, yeah. I have a few... You'll have to ask him that. Yeah. But he clearly believes it. He was previously a Mormon, became a Pentecostal Christian in 2011, according to that well-known source of authority.
He's deep in the rabbit hole.
Yes. And so consequently, in some ways, all he was doing was just stating his view.
Yeah.
What it has strikingly been described as is hate speech.
Yeah, now, because hell is quite a bad place. So I guess you're like, when you're damning someone to a bad place, that's sort of a negative vibration, isn't it?
But I think we have to be mighty careful for that, because that's a pretty standard belief of a range of religious believers. So are they all automatically guilty of hate speech if they mention their belief on this issue?
Does it say in the Bible that gay people go to hell?
Well, I don't think so, but that's how he reads it. But right. I mean, we'd end up in a debate over how you read the Bible.
Yeah, right. And words have changed and whatnot.
Down this line. Yeah. So this is the complication. And so, I mean, personally, much as I find his views silly, childish, and unthought through, because they could disturb young gay people, he has actually, I think he has a legal right to say them.
Right, because it's a standard belief, sort of recognised by the government.
No, but even if they weren't a standard belief, we actually have to defend, if we believe in freedom of speech, then we have to defend the right of people to say things that we find offensive. Hate speech is when you deliberately target somebody with a malicious intent. He wants to convert gay people. I think it's a strange way to do it, but that's clearly his intention.
But the statements like that are not going to make any progress for society on a whole, are they? It's just quite a backward view.
Well, see, this is where freedom of speech in the religious field is always tricky, because religious views are always potentially offensive to somebody. And the moment we start saying this is a backward view or this is a forward view, do you see how we're kind of loading the situation? So what is currently our view, or what's my view, is of course not backward.
Is it really that hard to interpret the Bible? Like, can we not get a bunch of people together and sort of vote on what we decide the Bible actually means in certain places?
And then the next vote would say the exact opposite.
Okay. Well, the Bible.
You know, I mean,
for such a great book, it sure is confusing.
Well, full of rich varieties of viewpoints.
Yeah.
I mean, on the face of it, of course, comes from an age in which direct homosexual activity is totally reproved, but then of course they have no notion of homosexual orientation.
I'd have to agree with this texter. I mean, people seem to just pick and choose the parts that they want from the Bible, you know, and nobody really nobody can really finish it. It's kind of like game Monopoly, you know, like,
yeah.
So it's great for a moment, and then you're just like, oh, these characters suck.
So it's really interesting when one gets people getting on their high horse and saying, oh, he doesn't read the Bible correctly.
Mm,
but, I mean, well, perhaps he does.
Somebody taught him. Somebody taught him.
And does what the Bible say, would that then legitimate it? Or would it not legitimate it? Do you see what I mean?
Good point.
Actually, the reference to the Bible is completely irrelevant in our society.
Right.
Because the only people for whom Israel's message will be relevant will be those who accept the authority of the Bible to state them. Mm.
True, I guess.
So, I mean, in effect, in our society, we have a high level of religious freedom because we permit people to, you know, challenge us and ram stuff down our throats, and it only becomes offensive if the way they go about that is personally threatening to people.
Yes.
Maybe we just shouldn't be giving league players microphones. Maybe that's sort of
a good option as well. I mean, league players are not going to give you civilized or sophisticated religious interpretations. I mean, it's kind of a bit unlikely, isn't it?
But that's what we got there.
But I mean, we all want our platform. And, you know, if you had Israel Folau in the station, I think you would probably... Would you let him say it?
I think he's probably quite massive, so
yeah,
I'd just be like, yes, sir. That sounds like a great yarn, sir.
Right,
thank
quite,
you, sir.
Quite.
Yes. Hey, thanks, Peter. It's definitely a controversial thing. I'm sure people have a lot of opinions about.
Issue. Yes.
We'll catch you next week, mate.
Okay, bye-bye.
Thank you.